You dickheads.
Welcome to episode 29. This one's called Sexual Tyrannosaurus after our good friend Jurassic Jesse Heiss. Campbell!
How you going? I'm excited. You sound very excited, David.
Oh, mate. I've had a permanent erection since last weekend.
And why wouldn't you? Well, you apparently had a fantastic weekend on and off the pitch. So you're still on that high, mate?
I am. I'm a happy boy. We did it, man, back to back.
No, that's awesome, man. It's pretty good. Take out one of our big national tournaments. So congratulations to your fine self.
Congratulations to you for recovering so successfully from your operation.
Yeah, I'm able to sit down. It's been a cracker of a couple of weeks. So it's good. I'm sitting at the moment.
Would you say that you've put it all behind you?
I have put it all behind you. I was pretty bummed.
Did you hit rock bottom?
Nurses have not been able to look me straight in the eye ever since. Let's just put it that way.
Huh? Right, right. Which eye?
Fact. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, you know, my eyes are all brown, so. What have we got this episode, David?
Campbell, we have a rare treat. We have one Ed Lambeck and one Hayden Haydos Sheehan. We have a chat about CanCon. Ed is the TO for the Capital Cup at CanCon. He is a legend and a pundit in Canberra. So we have a chat about the CanCon experience, the New South Wales meta, Australia, WTC, and we recount our experience with our good friend Haydos, who I shared an apartment with.
Ooh, and I heard there was a few surprises there that we still don't know what they were.
Let's just say there were ghosts of visitors past.
Well, it's good to see that you got out of there alive then. I mean, that's a positive we can take from that. So,
I did try and kill myself through alcohol poisoning, but turns out the flesh is willing and strong.
Nice. Did you frequent our favourite watering hole there, the Grease Monkey?
Yeah, we went to the Grease Monkey more than once, man.
Nice. Did you have the Dirty Bird there, or was that just Jesse?
I did have the Dirty Bird there.
I love that burger, man. I love that burger. Oh, man. So, we had a really good chat. I'm sad that I missed it, but shout out, massive shout out, and I think I thanked them both during the interview. Ed was messaging me. He was doing his TO duties, but he was messaging me score updates from Haydos's games, your games, which was really cool when I was basically, in hospital. I just got out, so... massive thanks to him. He's an absolute legend.
Top bloke. He showed us a good time. He took good care of us. So thanks, Ed. We love you, mate.
So on other winners, I do believe we should probably put a shout out and congratulation to one Christian Metz. I believe he's just gone and mauled the capital of chocolate. Good on him.
He won Belgian nationals.
Yeah, is it? No, it's probably not the capital of chocolate, really, is it? But anyway.
I have no idea, man.
I don't even know who he is.
Christian Metz.
Yeah. I've never heard of the guy before. Apparently he wins a shit ton of games. So.
Didn't we interview him?
Possibly.
Congratulations to you, Christian. Well, we obviously know who you are.
Yeah, Christian knows who he is. Well, the reason why I say that is when you look on Longshanks, I believe he's now known as player hashtag 1283. Either that or someone else has assumed both the Belgian and German championship plus a few badges for guilds there. So I'm just making the assumption he maybe doesn't know who he is now.
People had been assuming that he was either a robot or a replicant, so that might just be proof of it.
Nice. We'll just call him Finn then, shall we?
Man, that dude's got some talent. You gotta hand it to him.
Yeah. No, massive shout out. Good on him. He went and took some blacksmiths and mauled the shit out of some people. I love that. I love everything about that.
Yes. So, in the interests of keeping this bus moving, shall we start up the wang machine and wang on out of here?
Let's wang on in. And straight from CanCon, we thought we'd get a bunch of people together on the line because we like a bit of a group thing. We have one Mr. Hayden Sheehan, and we have Edward Lambeck. How are you both?
Doing good. Doing good.
Nice.
Less stressed.
I like this. I mean, stress can be a good thing. Can be a motivator. But yeah. On the line, we also have one champion, the Sorcerer of South Australia, the Enigma of Everard Park, Sir David Scotland. I believe you got a knighthood in between the week it's been since you won a certain event. David, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I've only been communicating with the wizard emoji.
I don't think he's champion yet because he hasn't taken the title from the previous one.
Ooh, no. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Loopholes.
Yeah. Even from the other night, and we had a dirt match that I still don't know who won. So.
It was what it was, man. You just...
Yeah.
There's no shame in that.
No. And someone came out on top and people were clapping. It was good. So... We thought we'd get together and talk about CanCon. I missed it, much to everyone's dismay, but mostly my own. I was fucking gutted. But, yeah, we thought we'd get Ed and Hados on, and you guys can go through kind of the weekend of, you know, how it rolled out from obviously three very different perspectives. And, yeah, how much awesomeness there is at CanCon and what I missed out on.
Well, Campbell, I feel like you need to give an explanation as to why you couldn't make it.
Look, all I'm going to say is I'm trying to put all that behind me, all right? And I was pretty bummed out. I mean, that's essentially...
Literally?
I basically, because the world needs to know shit like this, and I believe half of Adelaide's now seen my ass. I came up sick just beforehand, had to go in... get a scan and had a fucking abscess, which I needed draining / removing / I don't even know what they do. I paid a surgeon and an anaesthetist lots of money to make me better. They gave me good drugs. I felt better, other than not going to CanCon, which I was pretty fucking gutted about.
Yeah, and it basically
came up the day before it was due to leave, so I was actually still in hospital when Dave flew out.
Yeah, well, you missed a fun weekend.
I've heard this. I've heard this many times. Dave he actually wakes me up with it in the morning. He just rings me in the morning and says, Campbell, where were you? Why were you at CanCon? So, sadly, it put me out of action. But I still had some good mates and yourselves, all of you, messaging and telling me, you know, what was going on and that kind of thing. I mean, we'll get onto it later, but you were posting me updates of how games are going that, which was actually pretty cool because at least I felt like there was something going on and that I could, you know, be a small part of it, you know, from a voyeuristic point of view.
Mm. Yeah, for two of those games, I felt like I was just a commentator, not even a TO. I was just like, cool, I'm watching two games and just sending updates. It was great.
Yeah. No, it was good. And I really appreciate it, actually. That was really good.
Yeah, so maybe we get your perspective, Ed. You know, you threw this tourney together, you organised it all. What do we have in the end, like 24 people?
We had exactly 24 on the day, with a couple of sign-ups the day and the day before, and a couple of dropouts, which was cool, because that just balanced it out. But the crazy thing was trying to organise it was one of those things of... I was away for most of January in the middle of the South Pacific because that's where you go in summer. And so all I was doing was email correspondence. And this was the crazy thing of talking with, like, Jackal, talking with Jolt, talking with CGS for CanCon, and just organizing it with not even being there. Then when Friday came around, set everything up, got it sorted, caught up with people, and then went, okay, everyone, on Saturday, we're going to go. When Saturday came around, everyone was there, and it went smoothly. So this was the first tournament I'm running. I'm like, people were coming up to me asking, when does this round end? When do you want me to be back? And I was like, okay, look at the watch, look at the round timer, be back by this time. And they were back. That's how keen people were to play. They were back on time.
Man, yeah, it did. It was a well-run tournament. There was not a single problem that came up. It was great.
And yeah, you did very well, Ed.
Speaking of participants, there's a notable participant on this phone call, and that is one yep. Hayden Sheehan, who we were roommates for a weekend.
For better or worse. Yeah.
It felt like a real college experience, you know? Back at uni.
Oh, well, it was an experience, that's for sure.
Yeah. So any notable standouts for you, Hayden?
Well, I am sure you will agree the talk of the weekend had to have been the stench as soon as you opened that apartment door, the unidentified stench that is still a mystery. So that's the takeaway for the weekend.
So we
forgot all about Cancun.
We hired an Airbnb, and it looked okay. The pictures looked good. It's like, all right, nice, clean, whatever. Open the door, and we are hit with this, like, smell. You just can't identify it. You know, is something dead in the freezer? Has something, you know, pissed all over the carpet and seeped into the underlay? And I spent at least 30 minutes sniffing the air in that apartment. You just had to acclimatize. There was no option. You know, it's still unidentified. And when I put in my Airbnb review, I'm like, yeah, clean, you know, 5 stars. Good communication with the host, 5 stars. What other notes would you make? I'm like, unidentifiable odor, quite bad. So I don't know what she's going
to
do with
that. But did that odor at least climatize you to the con stench?
You know what? I actually think that the con stench wasn't as bad as this weird apartment stench.
Ooh.
I would have to agree. I think it's to do with the mystery. You can identify con stench.
And remedy it. This one, like, fuck, what are you doing? Like, I'm here for 2 days. I'm not really going to go and buy a bunch of carpet cleaner. Just open up some windows and hope for the best. I don't know. Yeah. So we played some games, Cam. You missed out.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It was great, man. It was great. You should have been there.
Oh, no. Well, it sounds like the more you guys talk about the accommodation, the more I'm like, maybe not. Yeah, hospital food's bad. Yeah. Not that
but
bad.
You've got to remember, they were only in that accommodation probably for 5-6 hours per night. We got them there late in the evening and took them away early in the morning.
Yeah, so we kicked off at, what, 9 o'clock on the Saturday for the actual tournament?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Because we were planning for 5 rounds, which it didn't end up going to. Because some Pete Williams ended up losing to Farmers again.
Yeah, poor Pete.
It's a Kryptonite Superman thing.
Yeah. Apparently, he missed a 3-die shot on goal and he just couldn't get back into the game.
That'll suck. So you guys rock up, Haydos and Dave, and you're keen. You got your Superman suits on. Who'd you draw round one?
I was lucky enough to draw the aforementioned Peter Williamson round one. It was brilliant. I feel like Ed hates me.
Not true. I want to see you strive under diversity.
He wants to see me improve under pressure, apparently. Apparently the rounds, the pairings were random, but I fail to believe that.
And how did the game go, Hayden?
Not well in my favour, but it was a good game, if that makes sense. So it was Ox Butchers into I dropped smoke. I scored an early goal with smoke. Vet Cat ended up getting tied up by truffles, as he does, and that was his only kill for the game. So I got up 5-0, and then Peter proceeded to do Peter things and murder everything on the board.
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
And the Mad Dog, he rocks up to this tournament with like 6 butchers. So I think he was playing Ox.
His whole lineup was Ox, Truffles, O-Brisket, Meat Hook, Shank, and Decimate. That was his 6 men, and he took it through the whole tournament.
What?
Goes 3-1 with it.
Yeah, that's some crazy business. He did pretty well, actually.
He did.
Yeah. My first round, I drew a lad, a young bloke called Harry James, and he was playing Thresher, and he's quite good. Like, I understand he's a bit of a
Like he's a bit of a shark in the New South Wales meta. Is that right, Ed?
He's always been placing quite high every tournament we play with.
So he drops Thresher, and you know I'm like, okay, so this is how the day starts. It's a good feeling. But I think it was an interesting game in the sense that I played Corsair into Thresher. I don't know that that's the right matchup, but it's just what I was comfortable with. But he kicks off, and he kicks off really extremely to my right-hand side of the board. So I go and get the ball with Gutter, kick the ball back to my lines, but what it meant is that Gutter was like split from the rest of my force, and then he had a choice of either pursuing Gutter with Thresher and then keeping Thresher out of the game, or following, you know, getting that guaranteed takeout and start him next turn, or following the bulk of the team, you know, and having a more consistent game that Thresher would be part of. But I think, like, the key point with Thresher is that there's two main output pieces, and that is Thresher and Tater, generally speaking, and Millstone to some extent. But the game really came down to me going, all right, I'm going to bait a first-turn countercharge with Tater, which he took into Corsair. And I'm like, great, you know, you've saved me spending two influence for the drag. Got to even momentum, did a bit of damage on Tater, won the roll, and then killed Tater at the top of two. So it sort of played out like that, you know, like I was up on board, managed to get a few goals, got two takeouts, and it was over 12-4. But that's like a really hard match, and I'm just like, fuck, first turn Thresher. Thanks for that, Ed.
I want people to strive under adversity.
You know, that's what my dad used to say to me before he locked me in a cupboard.
So now I've got permission to lock you in a cupboard?
I mean, why not? It was good. Like Harry's good. He didn't run Millstone, which struck me as a bit unusual. He said it was because he hadn't practiced with her much, and he preferred Grace. And I can see that. But man, like Millstone is such a dominant part of that team. You know, I can't see why he wouldn't run her.
Especially it's that triangle of Millstone, Tater, Thresher. Just Millstone protecting those from the knockdowns and fire to stop them losing that movement is so huge.
Yeah, and then she's like a switch up damage piece when, you know, everything gets all jammed up, just closes it out, drops that harvest marker.
Because it's what does she have? Momentous 1-on-1 and momentous 2-on-2.
Yeah. It's gross. It's just gross. Brings 3, you know, like just massively contributes to the team. Yeah, that was good. Like 12-4, pretty happy with that. You know, he played a good game, but I think that losing Tater early in the game meant that Tater was never really in the game. So that just helped me.
No, I think there's definitely a point there that with the farmers, you've got there are two main prongs you want to take out. Obviously, Thresher and Tater's the other one. And I think, Dave, you and I have played not that matchup specifically, but I've played, you know, farmers into you enough that you know who to basically go for and who to take out to really neuter, you know, their attack. And if you've got Thresher on one side of the board and Tater dead on the other side, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it was an interesting board as well in the sense that there was a lot of terrain in the middle of it, and I was able to use that to prevent Thresher from having easy charge lanes, so he often had to sprint to get where he wanted to go instead of just charging, which, you know, further reduces his efficiency. You know, he's only got 5 influence, so, you know, that really helps. Yeah, it wasn't easy. Like, it was a rough game, but I mean, the score probably doesn't indicate how tight it was. You know, you just get away with fish with a couple of goals, and it's like, all right, cool, 4 points is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. That's the thing the Corsair team brings that some of the other control teams don't bring, is the ability to just score on, you know, in one activation quite easily and trivially.
Yeah.
You know, like your hunters don't do that as efficiently, and Morts especially don't either, you know, so.
Yep.
Right, yeah. The round one's done. Ed, how are you feeling at this point? You happy? Everyone gets their papers in nice and neat? Did you check any spelling?
Never check spelling. Whatever.
No. It's pretty easy. W and L.
And I was using Longshanks, which was beautiful to use. Just hit the drop-down menus, plug it in, go.
Yeah, it's very smooth. Like, he's done a good job designing it. It's actually, like, a really great tool. I think the more it gets populated, the better it's going to get. I just regret that some of like the earlier Australian data wasn't incorporated properly.
On there, yeah.
I too regret this, especially last CanCon. I regret that that's not on there. But anyway, I'll take my saltiness elsewhere. So Hayden,
I'll come with you with the saltiness with WinterCon as well. Because
yeah, okay, fair. With any luck, I can spend my brownie points and come to WinterCon at some point this year. So maybe. There's a lot of travel this year, so
we'll have a CanCon.
There might be a
a title bout for CanCon's title at WinterCon.
Sounds maybe. Good to me. Yeah, I mean it'll like over here we just call that Thursday.
we
each other that much.
Fact.
There's still the previous WinterCon champion to knock out.
True. That would be you, wouldn't it, Ed?
Shh. Maybe. Yes.
I see. So round two, Hayden.
Round two, I ended up getting drawn with my lovely wife, Ella. Oh,
fuck's sake, Ed. No. What did you do there?
You made him beat his wife. Monster.
Travel 3.5 hours to verse my wife. So.
Oh, my God. How pumped was she about this scenario?
I was pretty pumped. About as pumped as you'd expect, i.e. not at all.
Not at all. You're zero pumped. Fantastic. So you've played this matchup a bit, I would make the assumption. So did you take the consistent teams that you normally play against each other in this?
Yeah, so I ran... It was Smoke, Flask, Vitriol, Vet Cat. I'm thinking it was a Harry Calculus. Some combination of AoE throwers, I don't exactly remember. So I kicked off with Vitriol. There was a convenient barrier right in the center of the pitch that would block any early turn one pins from Theron with the way she set up. So kick off to the side, didn't get quite the scatter I wanted. Ball ended up on Zerola with Jaykar nearby, so Vitriol activated, sprinted round, got the tackle off Zerola, punched Jaykar for a momentous something. I believe it was push dodge. I didn't quite get the clone. Went for my four dice shot on goal and missed.
Well, that's mean. It's just plain mean.
What are you doing?
It's karmic justice, as some would say. So, sitting up there.
At this point too. I think you're like, yeah, fucking good on that. Four dice shot at goal.
Yeah, pretty much. So I missed my four dice shot, and Vitriol sitting up there with Theron full stack, yet to activate, no momentum, no clone up. She died.
Wow.
End of turn one, kicking off, I had last activation, so Smoke did Smoke things and whittled Jaykar and Zerola down, both Poison Fire and Legendary Don, won the roll-off and proceeded to send Vet Cat in on Jaykar to get the double takeout, witness me.
Oh, boom. Oh, that's 6 points, thanks. Oh, so basically, then we're at 6-4 at that point?
Yeah, 6-4 at that point. So 6-4 at that point. I can't remember where the ball ended up. Somehow it got to Smoke. I got a Smoke goal and knee-slided back into my half because I had Sikkim up the sleeve. So start of turn three, there was a poisoned Egret with 6 health and the good old Flask bot with a Sikkim won the game.
Choo-choo,
motherfucker. So what happened next? So basically the summary of the game was I missed my first shot on goal and went into rage mode. So I just got angry.
At your wife during the game?
At my wife, yep. And so what happened outside the game is the literal second that the results got submitted to Longshanks, I receive a text from our viewer at home, Mr. Campbell Dandy, saying, "Hey, Doss, did you really just beat your wife?" So we have evidence of domestic abuse at CanCon.
Right. Well, that's a heartwarming tale, if I ever heard one.
It is. Full of love.
Full of love. I don't know what's happening at Campbell's house, but it sounds like...
No, that's not me.
No?
That's not me.
No, that's mine.
Right.
Blame it. It's a fucking shambles. He can't get the matchup process right, and he's got animals. Jesus Christ, Ed. What's going on here, man?
People trust me with important things. I told them not to, but it happens.
People make mistakes, man. It's fine. It's fine.
Man. Beat your wife.
But yeah, Ella, shout out to Ella. She's a legend that she's come down and put up with you, Hados, and put up with all the drunken people that went out after and before this evening.
She's a good lady. Good lady. I drew a guy called James Kotsios, and he's an older bloke. We've met him before, Cam. Like, he was, I think, at Nats. He was at the last CanCon. Nice dude. Top bloke. So we sit down, and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty green. I've been out of the game for a while. Whatever happens, happens. And I think I took out Shank and Ox on the top of turn two. And it just rolled from there. Like, Ox had 5 influence, and yeah, it was like 12-0. Wasn't much of a game for either of us, but, you know, we're both pretty nice about it. He's like a lovely dude, and you know, Corsair did Corsair things. Kick goals, crush dreams. Yeah, it was over pretty quickly.
Nice. A disclaimer to all of this is Corsair was the broken shit before Thresher became the broken shit. So I just find it funny that now, like, it's okay to, like, just ruffle stomp people with Corsair. I find it fucking hilarious.
It's the best. I'd never played Corsair in a tournament setting before last weekend. But, you know, it's just... like, having a captain that efficient, you know, with so many options, you know, you're essentially running... like, it really feels like with Corsair and Siren, you've got the best of an Obulus team with much better goal-scoring opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
No, and it's good.
And then you've got the Brewer playbook.
Yeah, that's true.
It's no longer a Brewer playbook. Brewers are just shit now. Yeah.
It's still 6 attack, 5 long playbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at. He rips out the damage when he wants to. We did that, you know, got some coffee.
Was that a little lunch break, Ed? What happened here, mate? Round 2's done.
We didn't have a lunch break. I was letting people know, go get food, because we're looking at 5 rounds at a 7:30 finish. So I was trying to be on top of it, go, you've got time now, go get food. Go get something to eat, get something to drink, come back refreshed.
Nice.
That's what I like about you as a TO. Like, you run a tight ship, but you care. It really shows, man. Did you get the flowers that we sent?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. They're on the way.
Cool. So I'm expecting nightshade?
No. I got you like a nice bunch of like peonies. Nice spray of peonies and some roses, mate. That's just always the best for you, Ed.
Right.
So, round 3.
So it's getting a bit pointy now, obviously. Round 3, we're still looking at 5 potentially. Obviously, with 24 people, we get that odd number pair down scenario eventually, potentially. So round 3, Hados.
Now that round you've beat 3. Your wife,
you've found back to that yourself. The anger's gone.
The anger. Oh, there's always a base level of anger in the background, residual rage.
Metal side of you, mate. Is that like, you know, just this kind of death metal kind of component that, you know, floats around from time to time?
Not so much the death metal, just the pure self hate.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
It's cheery. Yeah, this is good.
So round 3 for me probably turned into the most talked about game of the night, I think. So I got matched up to Mr. Martin Crane, and from what I understand, he's a bit of a newer player. He's playing engineers. I contemplated dropping smoke, but decided to have a bit of a quicker game. So dropped Midas, who I'm not as comfortable with, but decided to give him a go.
It turns out Midas is still really fucking good.
He's insane. It's great.
Yeah.
I played him the other night. It's so good. Anyway, sorry.
Well, as an aside to talk about Midas, I dropped Midas into Ella one night about a month ago. He was pinned, and with all his dodge shenanigans, although he couldn't get the turn one goal, he could get in place for Vitriol to pass him the ball purely through dodging. And then I failed the snapshot, so there's my karma again. It's just the universe saying, fuck you.
Man, I'm seeing a pattern here.
Oh, yeah.
Don't play your wife.
Yeah. Or don't play Alchemist, one of the two.
No, definitely don't play your wife. It's definitely the wife.
So back to CanCon round three, playing against Ballista Engineers. So I dropped, it was Midas, Flask, Vitriol, Harry, and two other scrubs. I don't think I used them. I kicked off with Vitriol, and he started doing well. So he sort of deployed from center to my right-hand side, his left. It was Mainspring, Ballista, Colossus, Hoist, and Velocity. There might have been Salvo on my left, his right as well. I failed the kickoff, didn't go over the line, so he gave it to the bug. Started a passing chain to Salvo, then to Hoist, so he was heading the right direction, getting it out to Velocity away from Vitriol. But from Hoist, he then passed to Colossus, who then dodged forward. And then passed, Colossus then passed back to Ballista. So I had that nice handy 2-2 bounce off of Colossus into Ballista, tackle the ball, turn one goal, then knee slider.
Nice.
Oh.
The dirtiest bullshit ever.
Yeah, it's it gets worse, Ed, as you may well know.
Yeah.
He then gets the ball back out to Vitriol, Velocity, who sprints up the side. So turn two, I activate Harry, who was out on that flank, and proceeds to push a full health Velocity off the side of the pitch with the ball. And I had to just explain what pushing off the pitch meant. So, unfortunately for him, it was the takeout and then the scatter from the center, and it scattered onto Colossus. So it wasn't the most ideal scatter for me, but I was up 6-0 at that point. The board was in such a position that he was looking for some revenge on Harry for pushing Velocity off the pitch, and the next play was really good on his part. So kudos to you, Martin, for visualizing this play. It was really good to see newer players look at the synergies within their own teams rather than individual players. So what had happened is Colossus couldn't quite get the charge line on Harry. So he true repped unexpected arrival off Colossus and charged in with Hoist.
Nice.
Harry was less than 4 inches from the pitch. So he charged in base to base to Harry, and I unfortunately had the plot card brace for impact.
You're a bad person. I must have said that already. Sorry.
You can reckon this dude's dream with plot cards, you know.
Yeah. One of the two.
I'm pretty much the dirtiest player out there. So he rolled it out just to see what he get, and he wrapped all buggery, but none of the pushes could be applied, so he just had to do some chip damage on him.
Did you have to sit there and explain that to him, that you can't actually take him as a separate? And then, you know, newer players had probably asked that question too.
I actually got called over for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, so
the mistake that the push is one push, basically. Yeah,
so this is where I'm going to sound like a real dick. I actually didn't know whether the unexpected arrival and the playbook pushes were combined, so I got Ed over to resolve this.
Okay.
And it basically just made it look like I was rubbing it in, but that's not the case.
Well, I mean, and that's exactly what the TO or the judge is for. You know,
yes.
You get that. Yeah. You get that impartial resolution. You can move on with the game.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was just a case of I couldn't quite remember what the rules were. We got Ed over. He solved it in about 3 seconds. It was great. So, it was, next activation. He then sends Colossus in to do the job and, gets the unexpected arrival, pushes him off the edge. So, Harry's now off the edge. So, we're up 4-2 at that point.
6-2.
6-2, yes, the takeout. Thanks, Ed. He then gradually brought Velocity back up the same side, and I had one initiative going into the next turn, and Velocity was in such a place that I could bring Harry back on to immediately engage her. There was a bit of fast ground on that corner. First activation.
Push her off again.
Yeah, with the ball again. It scattered to near Midas and Vitriol, who was in his half. I then had two influence left, so I goaded Colossus and sprinted as far as possible away.
Oh, so You do realize there's a social contract in this game, you know, like just being a dick to people. I don't know. You can do that, Hades. Okay, you can do that. It's fine.
Well, I don't know whether it was the universe trying to balance itself or what, but the next activation, he chooses to activate Colossus, and I immediately forget about Goad and let him to jog straight towards the ball to pick it up. It's like, you can have your close control model have the ball.
Yeah, okay.
Well played.
Yeah.
I think that was a nice part of you coming through.
Yeah, that's it. That's top orange strats for all the listeners out there. top level play, cast Goad and then forget about it. And it just causes confusion in your opponent.
I got no idea what's going on with that.
So I think at that point, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, that he had clocked out, so he had Ed over to time the last few activations. So yeah, so Midas had activated, gone in, procced close control, passed a vitriol but missed the pass. He was down to 1 minute activation, so he activated Mainspring, who picked up the ball. So I went to 9-2 at that point. Vitriol activated, tackled, and scored a tap-in. So 12-2.
Nice.
As much as we're ribbing you about that, obviously, you know, it's a pretty full-on tournament environment. Like, you go hammer and tongs. I mean, new players, beware. Obviously, you do it in a nice way. Sounds like you did it in a nice way, but just those corner case rules sometimes.
Yeah.
People. Yeah.
And that's what I said to Ed in that. It's like, you know, we're playing at CanCon. It's round 3. It is, all out, just trying to win. If I was to play the same guy down at the club, I probably wouldn't drop a Brace for Impact into an unexpected arrival. It just seems like a dick move.
Yeah. No, but it's a tournament, and, you know, absolutely a play to win.
So that was a summary of my game. And
I got Dave, Matty Graham round 3. Matty Graham.
Oh, this was an epic, wasn't it?
It was a big one. I was going to take Mortz to CanCon, but Matty Graham is the reason I didn't. And I thought, like, okay, he's probably going to run Mortz, so I really don't want that mirror, that kind of obulus of the obulus slugfuck, just in case I come across him. So he played Obby Mortz, and I think he played it with... He didn't run Mist, which I...
Bonesaw
instead, that's it, yeah. So, you know, I dropped Corsair into Obby. I kick off with Sakana and kick it off to, like, the far left side of the board. I think he retrieves it with Cosset or maybe with Dirge, but it ends up on Casket, and the bird is, like, just in front of Casket, so I'm like, all right, well, Sakana's got a shot at goal here. Charge him in, get, like, just phenomenal result, get the double dodge off the bird, just dice explode. He didn't pick the ball up or snap it to Casket, so dodge around, grab the ball, you know, have a little punch, jump off. Essentially, I think I was still engaged. So two dice shot on goal, 75% chance, miss, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Because you're sitting right next to Casket.
So Sakana gets Casket time, top of two, but it was a fucking tight game, but I think Corsair had the advantage in the sense that, like, once that Casket time is off the field, the rest of the team is a little bit pillow fisted, and he didn't have Cosset either, so I just tanked the majority of the game with Corsair, gradually whittling down Casket. I think I'd slotted in a goal with Siren at one point, but you know, I get to 10 points, I think, and he's on 6. The game's at a state where I have to kill Casket with Gutter, or the game's just going to roll out against me. So it's like one of those activations where you either win or you're probably going to lose in like 4 moves. And Gutter just, like, you know, Casket's knocked down. She rips, I think, 2 scything blows into him, triggers reanimate, hits him with another scything blow, so he's down to 2. And I've got to roll, I think I've got 6 dice, and I've got to roll like 3 threes to at least trigger that 1 damage at 3 on her book. Like 2 damage at 3 on her book, but down to 1 for tough hide. And got it. So, yeah, it was pretty white knuckle. One of those games where it's just like, it's an arm wrestle the whole time. And I think missing that opening goal you know, it's a risk that you take, and I think, like, you'd probably take that 75% shot on goal when you're kicking off every single time. But it, yeah, did, it did set up a situation where, like, I went from, you know, potentially 4-2 up if I hit that goal. You just assume that Sakana's going to die. You know, 4-4, I suppose, at the Kauska time. Like, coming back from 0-4 is a lot harder. It just means you have to play a lot more cautiously.
I'm happy to go 4-4 where you've got one extra influence for that goal.
Yeah, that's fair. That's, but one out of four times, you're just going to miss it. And I think, like, the real issue there is, like, how do you then sort of reset and stay calm and go, okay, well, you know, now I've got to claw my way out of this hole. I think Corsair is great in the sense that you can just use him as a massive beacon. You know, they all go in and they try and kill him, and more often than not, he's just going to stand there. He'll tank a knockdown. You know, that tough hide, really, unless you've got it tooled up in faction or on team, it's really hard to get through. Like, he's a big, fat fucker, and he can take a lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you've got Thresher, it's going to be, you know, a few activations to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was really good that game. You know, like, nailed in some goals, and I think that really swung the game back. Like, he... What I really noticed with that game was that Matt was playing super defensively. Like, he was protecting the ball, keeping it in his backfield. But what it meant is that the pressure that the Fish put on in terms of, like, hunting a ball and getting these cheeky goals out of nowhere meant that I was able to control the space much better. So, you know, go in, get the ball, score that goal. Suddenly, I'm back to, you know, I'm back to 4 points. You know, we're getting back to parity. Yeah. So, you know, I've played a lot of control teams, and that's my preference, but what I really notice is that Corsair moves it from just a straight control and a defensive game and a long game to a game where you have this explosive scoring potential while still having the very best aspects of a control team. You know, in the sense that you've got drag, you've got lure, you've got rough seas.
Seduce.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I don't know how... I don't know how this guy hasn't been fucking nerfed to buggery, but I'm glad he wasn't.
Well, they just nerfed everyone else around him, didn't they? I mean, when, you know, when Vet Soren had that momentous damage, that was just pretty broken. I think he's pretty balanced. There are definitely matchups that, you know, don't work well for him. But yeah, in terms of control and goal scoring, yeah, he's definitely got pretty much everything in the toolbox. Well, what I was going to say about the whole keeping the ball in the backfield. What I've found, we've got a local Ellie who plays a lot of Fish. I reckon, David, you tipped me off for this, is kicking the ball, just putting against the Fish, putting it behind them all the time, is often a better way of killing the ball to them, because they don't like to, you know, they're fast, but there's a certain amount of distance they need to travel to be able to score the goals. And if you haven't killed one of them, if you know that no one's coming back on from the backfield, it forces them to take two or three extra activations to get that goal. Yeah. Whereas if you on a high def model, that, you know, is bad, maybe the numbers aren't fantastic to tackle it, but it's still possible. Well, then, you know, Shark will come in to his thing, or whoever, you know, Sakana, it's still possible. Whereas the ball's in their backfield, it just can't happen. And if you keep punting it back there, you can actually force the entire team backwards.
So no, I agree with that. Matt was not playing aggressive enough with pushing the ball into David's half.
Yeah.
He was letting it sit in his third, and that's watching it from the sidelines. I was like, why aren't you moving that ball past
where risky. That
line is?
Because, you know, you're already four up. Like, if you're playing that casket time game, essentially what you're looking for is one goal, one casket time, and two takeouts. And, you know, if it's on the table, maybe, like, that extra goal, if you can get there. Yeah. But casket time effectively speeds up that mortician game plan. So you've really got to be, like, hunting for those opportunities. And I think, like, by focusing down Corsair or being fed Corsair and taking that bait, you know, it just blunts that game plan that they, you know, they want to roll out. I don't know, I've played a lot of Obulus as well, and I sort of was aware of how much damage was likely to come out. So, you know, it's a calculated risk, but it paid off in the end.
Nice. So what was that? That was round three.
That was round three, yep.
Round three. So after round three, we had Ed. I think we had three undefeateds at that point.
Three undefeated. So we had Will, Dave, and Peter Williamson.
So Will is a Kiwi as well as obviously Pete is. Pete's an Australian now, but we'll call him a Kiwi for the interest.
Pavlova Pete.
So we had three undefeated. So this is where the pair down potentially comes into it. Obviously, that's what happened here. But so yeah, we're looking at potentially a shorter tournament. Did your eyes light up at that point, thinking you could get a beer, like, you know, one round earlier there, Ed?
No, actually, I was sitting there going, in round three, I'm looking at it going, there's three fish in the top six, going, I do not want to see a fish mirror match in the top two, because it's going to be Corsair v Corsair. That's just going to be a grind.
Mm. Yeah, but also sometimes, as much as no one likes the mirror in any scenario, it's also... can be an indication of player skill, you know, if you both take the same models, or even the list selection is, you know, there's a skill component there too. Like, you know, if you fake someone out and take a different model to see, you know, what they do. So I get what you're saying. It is one of the worst matchups in the game, but it's also cool to see.
At the end of round three, pairing round four, I'm there going, cool. People asking me how many rounds there are. I'm like, there's five rounds, maybe four. Gave a joke to Sam because being close friends with him, it was like, hey, Sam, you've now got the chance to make it four rounds and we can go get a beer.
Brilliant.
And so it ended up being with the fish mirror with Dave and Will, and then Sam last got paired up into Pete's Butchers.
Ooh. All right.
Unfortunately for Pete, Sam was packing Farmers.
Yeah, yeah, and Sam's a little bit practiced with them too. I've chatted with him a bit online. We got him the second component of the Farmers that he required for the tournament, so we made sure that was there for him.
I joked to him when I saw him. I'm like, hey, man, I've got your second Farmers box. I feel like I'm giving a murderer a gun here. And I mean, he agreed.
Yeah, we were there on the Friday night when you did it, and we were like, why are you supplying? It's like you're literally supplying someone with their...
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry at the same time because, you know, cut the tournament short by a round. It was good.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, maybe we do Hados first. Hados, round four. You're 2-1 at this point.
So 2-1.
Doing a 3-1 tournament, which is always tidy.
Yep, so submarined it back up to table three.
Ooh.
And I got paired up with Matthew Graham, good old Matty G. And this has to be my favorite game of the day. It should have been his game. It come down to a single dice roll, and even if I lost, it was an awesome game to play. So props to him for putting on a good match. So he was running Obulus Morticians, so he dropped Obulus, Dirge, Cosset, Skulk, Bonesaw, and Silence. I dropped my usual smoke matchup due to the low health pools of the Morticians, but I put in O-Cat instead of Vet-Cat. I just think, to an experienced player like Matt, and especially one playing Morts, that Vet-Cat is just too easily controlled, whereas O-Cat can sort of scrum it out over a couple of turns to get the kills. So turn one had him kicking off with Obulus. I had Harry in my lineup, so it was like Smoke, Flask, Vitriol, Harry, Calculus, O-Cat. So basically used Harry's aura to bank up momentum and position people where I needed them to try make the Puppet Master not as ideal as it could be. So it was my second last activation. The ball finally gets on Smoke, who dodges forward. That was when Matt decided to Puppet Master. I hit the Puppet Master, but Smoke had Flask as an intervening model, and she was engaged by Vitriol, so it was a failed pass. The scatter passed over Flask's base rather than Vitriol's, so I decided to intercept. Probably not the most ideal, but it's better than it being out in space near Bonesaw. So Smoke activated. Don't think she really did much. I think she just spread some poison around from Calculus. And then that was end of turn one. I think I won initiative here. I had Flask activate first just to get the ball onto Smoke. So Smoke had the ball. I can't remember what Maddie activated next, but I'd pushed O-Cat up to threaten Cosset, who had moved up. So yeah, moved in, did a bunch of damage on Cosset. I can't remember if this was before or after a charge, but ended up killing her eventually with OCAT. Yep. Harry was there to support. He got the Puppet Master and scored a goal with Obby. The ball got kicked out. It was near Vitriol, and I then had to negotiate the annoyance that was Skulk. So I can't do my usual tricks. He's a fantastic piece, fantastic addition to the game, just causing you to rethink your usual goal run. The ball was on Vitriol. I used my dodge off Catalyst to try get Skulk to jog into Catalyst range. Which he did. He was also in a forest, so Vitro was then rolling 7 dice to dodge out.
Nice.
So dodged out. We got the steppers out to make sure she could sprint around his melee range and sunk a goal in with Vitro. So,
man, you know when the steppers come out, like, things are serious.
That's it. Anyway. So I think I was up 6-4 at that point. The ball got kicked out to Bonesaw, who then charged into Flask and pushed Smoke, Calculus, and Flask back 4 inches and then sunk a goal for him. Hmm. So back up 8-6. Must have been the next turn. I got Smoke with the ball, sprinted Cloud Jump in range of goal, but decided not to take the shot because then I would have only gone to 10. So I was hoping to delay the game enough to see if I could get another kill on Cosset to win the game. I stupidly ended my activation with Smoke still holding the ball, so I didn't unsnap it. So it was a case of the next turn, Maddie went in. He had won initiative after a rigor mortis. Punched Flask a couple of times with Obby to dodge in range to then be able to Puppet Master Smoke. He hits the Puppet Master and then fails the pass. And this is the dice roll on... speaking of. So 4 dice pass to Obby, fails it. She's got a piece of obstruction in between her and Obby. Oh, so the scatter, no. Yeah, the scatter just hits the obstruction and it's there ready for Smoke to snap up whenever she feels like it. So no one else on his team could then threaten the ball. So on the opposite side of the pitch, OCAT had been taken out by a mixture of Skulk, Crazy Cosset, and Silence. So I had Harry sitting there with 3 influence, Cosset on 6 health. So basically I had to try to take her out in one activation, because if I don't do it, Maddie then heals her up, delays the game enough for me to either just take the shot to get some points on the board, or he just steals the ball back next turn anyway. So I had to go in with Harry to try to kill Cosset. So needing... he was only rolling 4 dice because of Dirge nearby, and I needed to hit the non-momentous 2 on 3 and needed to do that 3 times to kill her, and I managed to do it somehow. Wow. So Cossack goes down. He had Skulk to activate. He could get over in range for Horrific Oda, couldn't get over to snap the ball or engage her. She had 3 influence on her, so she still had the extra influence to kick. She had the Cloud Jump to get around it, so... yeah, Smoke activates and sinks the goal to win.
Go Smoke.
So, boom. Yeah, very close game, very enjoyable, and Dice just didn't go his way for that one crucial pass back to Obby.
Mm. Trick for them young players, though, like, unsnap the ball when Obulus is when you're playing against Obulus. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, no, like, I almost literally shat my pants when he's activating Obulus, and I'm like, far out, forgot to unsnap the ball. But no, it was a very enjoyable game.
That's good. Yeah, props to Maddie. Like, I had lunch with him. You know, we had a good chat. He's obviously done a lot for the Australian meta, organizing
definitely
Nats, and yeah, no, he's a good dude. Good dude.
Yeah, helped me a lot. When I was deciding to become a pundit, he was sort of the point of call for me, and he was the TO for mine and Ella's very first tournament down in Canberra. And yeah, top bloke.
There you go.
Very easy to talk to and friendly to get, you know, new players involved in the game, and that's what you want out of a pundit, and that's exactly what Ed's doing now, sort of taking over from Matt. So
So my last game was a friggin' corker, man. It was really good. Billy Winveld, I think it is. I think the J is silent in his name. But a New Zealand player. Apparently he's a pretty experienced War Machine player. But if experience has taught us anything, it's that the New Zealand meta is basically a shark tank. and they're all highly proficient. And I don't think Billy's any exception to that. Top table, last game of the day as it transpired. Corsair versus Corsair Mirror. And I was okay with this. I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, if this is how it rolls out, it's going to be slow and grindy, but whatever. I actually think it was really interesting in the sense that our list selection was quite telling. So I went Corsair, Tentacles, Osirin, Sakana, Gutter, and Hag. And he went exactly the same, except substituted Grayscales for Osirin. And I can sort of understand what he was doing. Like, he's doubling down on the football aspect, win quick. But I really feel like Osirin is so fundamental to both the Shark and the Corsair team that you probably always want to take her. So I elected to kick off because I wanted the last activation. So I kick off and he basically, you know, screams Sakana around one of the flanks. You know, we move shit around. I've got Hag extending my threat, and I think that caught him out a bit in the sense that he thought Corsair was, you know, well out of range. But my plan was to use Osirin to bring Gutter up into my lines on turn one, which happened with the lure, so bring her in. And then Corsair sitting there with a fat stack. You know, he's been dodged up by Hag. We bring Gutter in and just, like, beat the living shit out of her so that she's out of the game effectively at the top of two and then doesn't really want to come back on into the action because she's weak and will die again. So effectively, I kept Gutter out of the game for two turns. And I really think that was quite telling. So he scores on the first turn. So he goes up to four. You know, I kick the ball out. It's sort of sitting on my left-hand side, floating near my Sakana so that he can pick it up and run and score a goal if that's what happens. I think whilst that ball was free, I was expecting him, because he was threatening with Grayscales to come and get that ball and score. I had this situation where, like, okay, do I go with Tentacles and blind his Corsair first and leave the ball there? Or do I pick the ball up, make it safe, and, you know, try and score at some point that turn? And I went with the blind onto his Corsair because I felt it was, you know, if I'm playing a more Beatty-style game, I want to, you know, force him, to, you know, take bad activations that are less effective than my beater. And so I did that. Grayscales came in and threatened the ball. He snapped it up. And I think the following turn, and this is where I'm just like, fuck. The following turn, Grayscale's sitting there with the ball, waiting to score on goal. And I'm like, great, I've got Corsair.
I'll have to contribute you there.
Yeah.
When you went to blind his Corsair, he took an activation to blind your Corsair. And this was the point where I've sent a message to Campbell going, both Corsairs have been blinded by tentacles with full stacks, just looking at each other.
Literally fat men. I don't know. It's you know how it is with tournaments. Like you sort of lose track of exactly what happened. But
it was one of those things where I thought he was going to do the grayscales after your tentacles, but he just went his tentacles into your Corsair and just let you.
That's right. Thanks, Ed. I'm glad you're here because I'm an unreliable witness, apparently.
I was just giggling about the two Corsairs being blinded. Just with fat stacks going, I know someone's there. Come near me.
if you want to look up the definition of miserable, right? It is two blinded Corsairs trying to actually do anything. It's just the worst. he actually comes in, grabs the ball with Grayscales. He's sitting there waiting to threat goal. So I'm like, oh shit, this is an easy opportunity to get the ball. Rough seas. Miss the rough seas. Don't get the ball. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll go with the drag. Miss the drag. So I'm just sitting there like I've spent four influence and got nothing for it. You know, finish out that Corsair activation by, like, just frantically flapping about. Grayscales then scores, and I'm, like, down 8-2. I'm like, fuck. This wasn't meant to go like this.
Seems weird.
Kick the ball out to the right-hand side where Siren is, and, you know, like, she gradually just picks up the ball and makes the way around to threaten the goal.
So it comes down to the last turn of the game. Sorry, the penultimate turn of the game. I think I do enough damage. I kill Sakana, and I think I'd probably take out Gutter again, because I'm on... I think I'm sitting on 6, maybe 8 points.
You got to 6. You took out 2 people.
Yeah, I took out 2 people. So, yeah. So I've got 3 takeouts on the board. Siren scores at the end of that turn, and I'm up +3 on the initiative roll. So we roll off. Yeah, cool, drop a 1. And he rolls, and we basically tie. And then I roll again, and I roll a 6, and I'm like, all right, cool, we got this. So there's he's kicked the ball out after Siren scores. He decides to snap the ball to Corsair. I feel that was an error. And it was an error because I'm on 10 at this point, and I've got 2 options to win the game. One is to take out Hag, who is on full health, but I've got a full clip Corsair, and you know he's got first activation. Or I can go with an option to rough seize the ball off his Corsair and then just try and score a goal. And I think like the goal scoring game is better because he's sitting on 8 and he will absolutely get a goal next activation. So, you know, even if I miss that goal, I can still get some momentum and I can still probably close out the game with a takeout, whereas he's further away from a double takeout to win. And the ball's down, you know, his goal end of the game. He's got to go back to get it. So I go, spend 2, knock Hag down because of fear. So generate some momentum with the
spend KD. 3.
No, it's only so fear's just the 1, right? So
you spend, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you walk.
So spend 2. We're already engaged, so I just like boom, hit her, knock her down, get some momentum, bonus time the rough C. Pro tip.
Nice.
Get it. I think I rolled like 2-2-3. Fucking line ball shit. I'm like, come on, dice. So anyway, get it. Hit Hag again, generate some momentum, you know, walk up, and I'm engaged by tentacles, so I like hit the legendary 3 dice shot at 8 inches out to you know, win the game, and it goes in. So yeah, that was it. And then Ed's like, "Hey, you're the only one undefeated. Congratulations." So that was that was pretty good. Felt good.
That was so the other crazy game finished game. At that point. So the other game finished before your game.
Yes, the other game had finished, and when they were rolling off for initiative, I asked them both, "Do you want extra pressure on this roll?" And they both said no, and I walked away.
No, fair. I don't think you really want to know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting part, like with the tournament, that you, when you know you're playing that final table, obviously there's the extra pressure there. But yeah, you guys, you know, it wouldn't have sunk in until it's actually told you. Now that's it, buddy. You're done. Pack up, go grab a beer.
Yeah. So yeah, that was good. I mean, like I think Billy probably made 2 major mistakes. One was not having Osiren, and the other one was like snapping the ball to Corsair, because if he doesn't snap the ball to Corsair, really my best option to win the game is to try and, you know, do 14 points of damage to Hag, which is probably okay because I had a crowd on her, and she's like death 3 after the knockdown, and I've got 4 influence. Probably can do it, but you know, if the dice go bad, then yeah. And he's got the ball, so
14, 5 punches. Yeah, it's not great though, is it? You basically get to the 4 column. Yeah.
So
and it needs those bonus times and spikes.
Yeah, you'd basically want to get that bonus time roll on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's dicey, so you don't really want to rely on dice, I suppose. But
nice one.
It was good.
So you become the CanCon champion, the champion of Capital Cup, and double dodge go back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Yeah, it felt good, man. Felt good. It was good. Awesome. It's good to beat a Kiwi as well, because Lord knows we've copped some shit after Nats.
Yeah. All I'd say is just don't go in the dungeon. Like, if you value your life, don't go in the dungeon.
Stay out of the dungeon. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so yeah, we went out, and we got very drunk. Very drunk.
Well, you guys did.
Hayden was there sitting on his cokes watching us get very drunk.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
He's such a good friend, that Hayden. He's such a good bloke. So did you guys go to the Grease Monkey after?
Yep. Went to Grease Monkey. Nice. Had many beers, had some food.
Had a feed.
And then Ed showed us the delights of Canberra, which, well, like, I've got to say, man, were truly delightful. We, you know, had a great evening. So our good friend Jesse Heiss, long may he reign, the sexual Tyrannosaurus that he is. Man, he came out drinking with us, and if there is one story that needs to be told of that weekend, it is that we're sitting drinking at, like, what's the name of the Irish pub at?
O'Malley's.
Man, so we're sitting, like, this place is like an absolute late night watering hole. It's just like dudes playing Journey, like live band, fucking chicks dancing around their handbags. It was amazing. And one of Ed's friends, who apparently he grew up with in Paris, because Ed's a bloody enigma. You know, like, she's like fucking hammered, comes and sits with us, takes a bit of a shine to Jesse, starts chatting him up. Jesse makes the mistake of, like, calling me a Jew, and that didn't go down so well. I mean, like, it's all in good fun. Like, we're not being racist. He's like, hey, you've got curly hair, you're a bit of a Jew. And I'm like, thanks, mate, you're trying to impress this girl, and it's not going so well for you. So he eventually goes, all right, I'm going to go home to bed. And this young lady, she's like, no, come on, stay around, have fun, and is so reluctant for him to leave that she bites him on the arm as he's leaving, as if to say, Jesse, I'm marking my territory here. So Jesse wanders off, and we're just left going, fuck, man, like, I've never seen a dude read signals so badly in my life before. What's going on?
We're sitting there going, what the hell just happened? You saw that? Yep, we all saw that. Okay, cool, let's... And as we're doing this, 5 minutes later, Jesse rocks back up.
He just emerges from the gloom.
He just apparates from thin air. We don't see him walk up, he just appears. Yes. Amazing.
And says to this young lady, so, is this on? And she gets up and leaves with him. What the fuck just happened? It was the strangest pickup I'd ever seen. I don't think anything will ever top it. And then Ed walked us home and put us to bed at like 3 in the morning. It was great. It was great. Much tequila was consumed. Should have been there, Cam.
Yeah. No,
why weren't you?
That sounds amazing. you could ask me that question, but I'm still sad about that whole scenario, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's one thing to win the Capital Cup, but it's one thing to win the title of Sexual Tyrannosaurus. So I think the real champion here is Jesse Heiss of FreeCityGames.com, who can supply your Guild Ball needs. And other needs, apparently.
Yes.
And if you're still looking for it, he still has limited edition bolts.
Ooh, there you go. Nice one. Look him up. Look him up for sure.
Yeah, he's on Tinder. So just swipe up.
We might put a link to that on our website, I think. We'll just help him out a little bit more.
If the name of this episode isn't Sexual Tyrannosaurus, then I'm going to be very sad. Oh, also, Ed's apparently a zombie.
Oh, get out. Really?
Yeah.
Facts.
I've died once.
Really?
Clinically been pronounced dead.
Oh, wow. Why haven't I heard this story before?
Because you went out.
Because you weren't there.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the stories which comes out when I've been drinking.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you're out drinking with me. We've had a couple. We're going to connect. You need to know about this in case something goes wrong with the world. I'm a zombie.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Motherfucker, well, maybe dead.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm still disappointed. Do you guys have any other reasons or, you know, things to make me sad about the fact that I wasn't there? I mean, really, because let's just get on it. Like, just keep going. Anything else I'm sad on?
The player pack.
Nothing. No, the Sunday is a complete write-off, so you didn't miss out on anything on that side.
Okay. That's all right. The player pack.
I did enjoy, Campbell, that the day before CanCon, I get a message from you saying, I'm sorry I won't be able to make your birthday. As if you were travelling to Canberra to celebrate my birthday, and then while you're there, you may as well go to a tournament.
That was true. That was the order. My priorities were definitely in that order, Hados. I was
fantastic.
Sad panda. We didn't even talk about that, but you guys went out on the Friday and celebrated with Hados, I assume?
Yeah. Had a meal, you know, had a few beers.
Yeah.
Hayden didn't because he doesn't drink because he's a responsible person.
He had a meal, though.
I did have a meal. Yeah.
Oh, so you eat then. Okay.
Fair. I do eat.
It's food. Yeah. Nice.
Man, Canberra's such a fun town. you know, it's just a great spot. That, like, CanCon, I think, so if there's any dudes who have been on the fence about going to CanCon, I would just say go. It's so much fun. It's a massive spectacle. You know, there's games everywhere. There's great stuff to buy. There's lots of stuff to look at. It's just awesome.
And if you're not interested in CanCon, we've also got WinterCon coming up.
Yeah, no, it's freezing. Forget about that.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing I did want to touch on was WTC. Like, we mentioned it last weekend, but it still is very much in its formative stages, as I understand it. I don't know, Ed, did you want to sort of fill in people as to what the loose plan is at the moment?
So, with WTC, we've got three experienced Guild Ball players with Aaron Harwood, Matt Graham, and one other looking at doing the selections. So, what they're wanting to do is have everyone who wants to go across put their hands up, and then from there they'll look at best players and team composition, because that is also very important with the team championships, because you need to know how your team interacts with your other partners, because the format's really weird where you're only allowed to take one of each model. So you can't have two of the same team player.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say team composition, as in no dickheads in certain teams.
That's quite easy. We just put a ball gag in them and just let them sit in the corner.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you know, if you were me there, Cam, like, you've already missed that target, right?
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I thought they've probably already put a red mark through their names.
I hope so.
No. We want to have at least one of you, because how else are we going to promote it?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Nice. It might be.
Have you heard of this thing called the internet, Ed?
It's amazing.
Yes, but you do the internet much better than we do the internet.
It's kind of you to say, but it's in no way true. Yeah, so what sort of time frame are we looking around? Because I think that event is capped at 96 players. Is that right?
Yep. So Australia has two team spots available, so six players going across. Mm-hmm. It's in. We've just had the dates released yesterday, which is the middle weekend, 14th, 15th, around then, of September. So if you think you can get your time off, drop Matty G a line, or drop any of us a line and we'll pass it on.
Yeah, send it to us. We'll pass it on for sure. Wink, wink. Yep.
September, nice time of year. And it's going to be in Warsaw, Poland, as I understand it.
Yeah, good vodka.
Great vodka. Cheap beer. Apparently, I heard some story that, like, a double whiskey is cheaper than, like, a single and Coke, because Coke is more expensive than whiskey. I find that to be amazing, like, the possibility.
Welcome to Western Europe.
Yay. Can't wait. Yeah, I mean, and I play a dude online on Vassal called Adam Wan, and he is a very good Polish player. He is super excited to have, I guess, the world come into Poland to play. And I think they're doing a lot to roll out the welcome mat as well. So I reckon it would be an amazing tournament.
It'd be a pretty awesome event. Obviously, it doubles up with the WTC for Warmer Hordes as well. So, you know, there's a heap of people. It's pretty awesome. So drop someone a line. Someone will send it to someone, and then someone will know that you may be interested. Fantastic. I like that.
Cool.
Sorry, Edgar. If you look at the... Keep in touch on the Guild Ball Oz Facebook page. Matty G's going to be dropping a whole bunch of information in the next day or two about it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so this cast will drop probably the week starting 5 February. So I guess we'll just pick up the thread from there and just keep it rolling. Gives them a bit of time. Any idea as to when they want to complete that selection process by?
I do not know, but I suspect they would probably want to complete it by end of March to have as much time to organize travel.
Yes.
Because that's going to be the biggest component, is organizing the teams to meet. It's like, once you've got the travel set, we know the date, we know the location, get our teams set on travel, get people able to get their leave and take time off and go.
Yes, logistics. Yeah, I mean, we were kicking around some fundraising ideas as well, but I'm not sure whether, you know, we're going to do the car wash or...
Oh, yeah, in bikinis, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I can picture you and I. I got a mankini from Christmas.
One of the things I'm looking at doing is over a weekend of WinterCon, which will be in June, is running a similar thing to the Rookie League or Big League, where people can purchase cheats like an extra dice in their dice pool, and those purchases go towards helping the teams get across.
Right. Yeah. Great. I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, every little bit just, you know, every little bit helps. We will drop the Double Dodge calendar at some point as well. We're just collecting photographs at the moment. And I think all proceeds will probably go to the WTC fund. I don't know. It's going to be exciting. Like, I think it's great that Australia is getting their shit together and sending a team or two teams over. Like, that's amazing. I know the Kiwis are going to send their own team over. So we were talking about Oceania as a team, but I think they very much have taken a separatist view after the outrages of the last weekend. And
they're not impressed with us at the moment.
they don't want a bar of it. So, you know, fair play.
They want to prove better than us. So we must get ours in order.
Indeed.
If nothing else, we're going to have a Trans-Tasman rivalry in Poland.
Excellent. It's weird because it's kind of like you're taking New World grudges to the Old World in very much a reversal of the colonial experience.
Hey, it's the modern age. You can do what you want.
It's post-modern age, as I understand it. Everything's up for... I don't even know. So we got anything else we want to talk about?
Seeing as it's an Australian podcast, I thought I'd might like to add... there's an event coming up first weekend in March. For those of you who want to go to something that's potentially bigger and better than WTC, I'm running a little 16-man tourney here in Orange.
Where is this event? Obviously, Orange is that small. They just rock up to Orange and just ask for head off. So how's it work?
Yeah, there's like four buildings. Knock on, you've got a 1 in 4 chance. You know.
But I will put this out there. I've already booked accommodation.
Oh, book brilliant!
As soon as possible, because
because I'm not hosting any of you dickheads.
From 3 days ago to today when I booked, 80% of the accommodation disappeared because somewhat reason people want to go to Orange.
For some reason. I know them feels.
You're basically the Orange Tourism Board right now, Aiden. You are driving tourism to Orange.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
That's it. So,
time to book flights. When is it on?
It's first weekend in March, so we've currently got 7 tickets sold, capping it at 16 players because I'm a noob and I don't want a tournament to be too big for my precious soul. So it'll be the 3rd of March, so a 4-round tournament focused on newer players. So if you just want to come along, roll dice, have fun, perfect time to do it. And you get to learn from the likes of myself, Ed, other local players, and just have a good time.
Sounds like you're not invited there, Dave. Newer players, mate.
Yeah, that's it. You've won CanCon. What more do you have to prove?
Yeah.
No, come along, but do what I'm doing, and I'm opening up what team I have to take to the opinions of the public.
Right.
Oh. There you go. Dub Dodge viewers get to pick Ed's team.
Yep.
Nice. I like this.
What do you feel like playing, Ed? Does it matter?
Oh, does not matter. I pretty much have every team but Alchemists, so...
So Alchemists, then.
Yeah.
Yep, I've got an Alchemist team you can borrow.
If that's the case, then that's the case. But, yeah, we'll open up the Double Dodge to tell me what team I'm taking to Orange.
I think you run the Alchemist lineup that just kills itself slowly, so, like, Venom, Crucible, Vetcat. It'll be great.
Pete Williams is Tournament 6 Butchers.
I'll take it.
I reckon he's
bring it on,
something.
People.
You just know with Pete, like, there's something going on there. He's planning something. Yeah, that boy can play. I think that's a nice point to maybe say goodnight. Good job. Massive shout out to you, Ed. You did a great job. Like, that was a great tournament.
Yeah, it was a very good day.
Hey,
yeah.
I did what I could.
Yeah, you should be proud, man. Like, you, like the amount of work you're putting in, shepherding new players into the game. Like, so if anybody is listening and they're curious about, you know, getting involved with, like, the New South Wales meta, particularly Canberra, Ed is always on Facebook giving advice to newer players, telling people where to play. Super helpful, dude. Like, you're a great kind of community representative. It's exactly what the game needs to grow.
Because I want the game to grow, because if the game doesn't grow, how will we get better?
Yeah.
I want Australia to get better and then keep sending people like Peter across or another Aussie across the world and just go, he's Aussie now.
Yeah,
we're playing him. He's one of us.
So if we keep sending people across and they keep just showing up and just destroying metas, because Pete Williamson went across to SteamCon UK with a six-man team and just dream crushed because he could. This is what I want to send away from down south, where people are like, oh, they're an Aussie. Uh-oh, we've got to think quite hard against this. Yeah. We don't know what's going to come.
Yeah.
That's the meta I want to build.
Well, I think you're well on your way, mate. Like, those young blokes playing in Canberra, like, you know, Sam and Harry, right?
Harry's Sydney.
Oh, right.
Seb's the fish player who went 3-0 as well in CanCon.
Yeah, they're monsters. Like, they're hungry as well, which is great to see. You know, like, if that's the quality of players you're churning out there, then I think, you know, it's just a matter of time, really. I just want to get to 30 for Nationals. That's the real issue, right?
Yeah,
that's the aim.
Yeah, well, I guess one step at a time. Any parting words for you, Cam? Anything you want to close off on?
Is that a leading question? Anything I want to close off on? I don't know. I could sit down now. I mean, that, you know, this that's a win. It's just baby steps, really.
Sure. You came with a colon, he came out with a semicolon. Good for you, mate.
Brilliant. Right. No, look, I enjoyed the weekend for what it was in terms of Ed sending me all the updates, which was awesome. Ed actually made me feel like I was part of it. So, no, that was awesome, and well done, Dave. Probably, you know, until you kind of get that big kind of tournament win, sometimes you keep asking yourself the question. So it's awesome, like, especially someone of your caliber who's always been good, to actually win a tournament. I think that's fantastic. So. Feels, I think, good, it speaks
volumes. Feels good.
Yeah.
Also, big shout out to young Hados here. 3-1 for the day, and I think he pulled 7th in the end, which is, like, great result. You know?
Yeah, 7th out of 24. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Fucking another shark that we have to deal with at some point.
Oh, my God.
Little shark, man. Little shark, man. Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties getting all of this together. That was a real pain in the ass. Thanks for having us in New South Wales, in Canberra. That was amazing. Really good weekend.
You're always welcome.
And I don't think we'll ever work out what that smell was.
And welcome back. What an interview. I'm partially erect. I'm a little bit excited by that. The stories of Jesse and his triumph. Pale in comparison to your triumph. David?
No, how you feel? No, Campbell. No, they don't. No, Jesse is the real winner of that weekend.
What a legend. If the legend hadn't been born yet, it definitely has now.
Illegitimately.
Fact. Oh, no. So, do we have any thanks to do at this part of the episode? Apparently, in our form of structure, that's basically all we do at the end of our shit.
Yeah, we just, like, yeah, fucking sledge. Say thank you. Sad news, Campbell. Sad news.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so our good friend Big Daz, Nerdvana Games SA, he's closing shop.
Aww.
The great ship Nerdvana is about to be...
It's about to be docked for the last time. So
that's a bit sad. Now he, I did have a bit of a chat to him about it, and he cited a few reasons, but let's not dwell on that. Let's talk about how his massive shoulders basically brought Gimbal to Australia, and really he was the first kind of guy really pushing it. He built our South Australian meta, you know, him and Timmy White. So massive shout out to Daz, and thanks for all his support.
Good night, sweet prince. Gone.
Yes.
Not forgotten. We love you, Daz.
You are a champion, Daz.
But as one titan falls, another rises, we have a new sponsor.
We do. We've been working on this guy. He's been working on some things too, apparently. But Mr. Jesse Heiss, he is a legend. We sledge him, but we're a massive fan of this guy. Had a quick chat to him, and he's more than happy to become a bit of a sponsor for the cast. So freecitygames.com. He's got a lot of stuff at the moment, doesn't he? I think he's got some of the blacksmith stuff rocking at the moment.
He does, and the limited edition sculpts to go with them.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So, yeah, hit him up for some Guild Ball action. He's more than happy to help. I reckon he's done some kind of deal. Maybe he's touched Perkins in some kind of way and, you know, is able to basically get his hands on some of these items that are otherwise a little bit difficult in Australia sometimes to get with our lack of kind of bricks and mortar sellers of Guild Ball.
Yeah, Jesse's another dude who has been, you know, active in the Guild Ball community. He took fourth at Australian Nationals in 2016. He's a good player. But also just makes an effort to donate, to contribute, you know, to be part of the conversation. He's a bloody legend. He and I got very, very drunk at CanCon. It was like one of those legendary nights where, you know, you both get too full of beer and go, okay, well, that's the limit.
Yeah, nice.
It's good.
Big fan. I'm a big fan of the guy. I was actually spewing that I missed it because I hadn't seen him since 2016 Nationals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, massive shout out to him. We'll be plugging him every episode. We'll get him on, I'm sure, at some point to tell us his exploits on the Guild Ball table, not off. Yeah, what a champ.
What a champ. So I think the only other thing that we really need to do is... well, maybe a couple of things. WTC.
Yes.
We obviously touched on that as part of the cast. Everybody is assembling their teams at the moment. If you are interested in being involved in the WTC on the Australian team, throw your hand up. Maddie G has put up something on the Facebook page. There is an email address. You're encouraged to email your application to a committee of three wise monkeys, and basically they will roll some dice, shake some bones, and make some recommendations.
They're so monkeys. I love it. Yep. I love it. Yeah, no, that'll be good. It's good to get organized this time around. I know last year we didn't have that much prep time, and hence why getting to the other side of the world was a bridge too far. So, yeah, get your apps in. I've sent mine in. It's ridiculous. They'll probably tell me to get fucked just because how stupid that application is, but that's all good.
Did you send them photos from surgery or something?
Yeah. Right. They're close-ups, though, so really it could be taken as, like, just a constellation, or it could be part of the body. I don't know, you know.
Depends. I don't know why you insisted on captioning it, look at the funny way I can roll dice.
Well, yeah, in some countries, you actually get paid for skills like that. So maybe I've got a show.
The other thing we needed to touch on, or wanted to touch on, was Patreon. It's been a bit controversial of late.
Yeah, Patreon, is it? Really? Is it? I was just going to say we've had a couple more people sign up, which is awesome for us. They're wasting their money. You guys are shitlords. But we love you. So Mr. Jesse Heiss, he is an absolute champion. He's signed up to us, so thank you very much. We've also got Cam Johnson and Josh Whitcomb have signed up to the $10 mark, so your stuff should be in the mail. If you haven't got it yet, just give me a yell. But, yeah, massive shout-out to those blokes. Really appreciate all your support. Because it helps us basically fund this kind of thing. You know, this takes a lot of time. We've actually re-recorded parts of this episode just because we're so shit. And you know, we do it for the love. So it's really appreciated. It helps us pay for, you know, web hosting and get to tournaments and things like that. So
yes, God bless you, gentlemen, and all who sail in you.
So patreon.com/doubledodge for all your wasting on our ramblings.
So, on that note, I think we're done. Are we done?
I think we're done. And unlike our previously recorded failure that went into the ether, I think we should just cut this short and not just ramble anymore. Wing, 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 wing.
Yep, 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 yep.